Hello and welcome to the Georgia Today podcast from GPB News. Today is Monday, November 18th. I'm Orlando Montoya. On today's episode, a former NFL player is arrested in Savannah for charges related to January 6th. A look at how Georgia's state budget is shaping up ahead of the 2025 legislative session. And enrollment in Georgia's medical cannabis registry reaches a new high. These stories and more are coming up on this edition of Georgia Today. A former NFL player was arrested in Savannah late last week on charges related to the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. GPB's Benjamin Payne reports.
Leander Antoine Williams faces seven criminal counts, including a felony charge of assaulting law enforcement officers during the 2021 breach of the Capitol by supporters of then-President Donald Trump. Williams, who lives in Savannah, played as a linebacker for the Detroit Lions in 2016 and before that for Georgia Southern University. Federal prosecutors allege he was among the first group of rioters to breach the restricted perimeter of the Capitol grounds. An attorney for Williams did not respond to GPB's request for comment on the charges. Williams was released on a $25,000 bond on Friday after making an initial court appearance in Savannah Federal Court. Prosecutors likely have little time to work with, given that President-elect Trump is expected to end January 6th-related prosecutions when he takes office. Williams is scheduled to appear in D.C. Federal Court Thursday. For GPB News, I'm Benjamin Payne in Savannah.
Rudy Giuliani has relinquished dozens of watches and a Mercedes once owned by movie star Lauren Bacall to two former Georgia election workers. Ruby Freeman and Shay Moss won a $148 million defamation judgment against him earlier this year. Giuliani's lawyer said in a letter filed Friday in Manhattan federal court that the watches and a ring have been delivered to a bank in Atlanta. Giuliani was ordered last week to immediately turn over his prized assets after missing an October 29th deadline. The Georgia legislative session will get underway in less than 2 months, and between now and then, we can expect to hear about priorities from people and organizations across the state. GPB Sarah Callis reports on what the Georgia Budget and Policy Institute is watching.
GBPI Vice President of Research and Policy David Schaefer says before final policy recommendations are made, the organization has to assess what changes they can expect following the presidential election.
There have been some shifts both at the federal level, a little bit at the state level, but because the state does draw down federal dollars, a lot of what happens in Washington does also impact what happens here. So we take all that into account.
GBPI tracks the dollars that move through the state budget and the impacts on policy proposals. Schaefer says he expects more need-based aid for students, a higher minimum wage, and in-state tuition for DACA recipients to be some of their top priorities this year. For GPB News, I'm Sarah Callis in Atlanta.
There are growing calls for Rockdale County leaders to revoke BioLab's business license. On Thursday, a group of activists started a change.org petition to have the company's business license revoked. They point to a county ordinance requiring commissioners to revoke the license of any business that harms public health. A fire in September at the plant sent chemical-filled smoke into the air for days. The facility partially reopened earlier this month. Hospitals nationwide are making strides in patient safety, but some Georgia hospitals are slipping. That's according to a twice-yearly ranking by the Leapfrog Group, a healthcare watchdog nonprofit that uses federal data and responses from a voluntary survey to grade hospitals on safety. GPB's Sophie Gratis has more.
Leapfrog's grades are based on a hospital's reported ability to keep patients safe from injury or medical harm, like infections. In Georgia, 70 hospitals were surveyed, and overall, the state dropped by 10 points in the rankings. All that means is patients should take extra care when choosing where to go, says Katie Stewart with Leapfrog.
If you're in an area where you don't have an A hospital, take a look at the facilities nearby. You can look by measure, see what they're doing well, and have conversations. But ultimately, we want to see better performance.
Of the 13 facilities that got straight A's this year, Piedmont Hospitals came out on top, alongside Wellstar Paulding, Colquitt Regional in Moultrie, and Fairview Park in Dublin. No Georgia hospitals received F grades, but five got D's. For GPB News, I'm Sophie Gratis.
Authorities have identified 12 of the 18 decomposing bodies that were found at a funeral home in Coffee County. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation said Friday that the families of those identified have been notified and provided information needed to make final arrangements for their loved ones. The gruesome discovery last month shocked many in South Georgia and led to the arrest of funeral homeowner Chris Lee Johnson. He's been charged with multiple counts of abuse of a dead body. The GBI says it continues to work to identify the remaining six bodies in what it calls a complex investigation. The White House is renewing its push for Congress to pass emergency disaster relief funding. The outcome of talks between the Biden administration and congressional leaders could spell millions of dollars for Georgians hard hit by Tropical Storm Debby and Hurricane Helene. White House Office of Management and Budget Director Shalanda Young told reporters today that disaster relief is typically a bipartisan issue, and she expects the same as Democrats cede power in the White House and Senate.
There's no room for politics and disaster relief. As President Biden has said, there are no Democrats, there are no Republicans when it comes to delivering this relief. With Congress back in session, the Biden-Harris administration stands ready to work with lawmakers to deliver the vital resources our communities need and expect with strong bipartisan and bicameral support.
The administration is asking for nearly $100 billion in emergency spending before the end of the year. About a quarter of the money would be earmarked for the U.S. Agriculture Department to help farmers that suffered losses and help food banks that provided relief in the weeks after Helene. The University of Georgia has estimated Georgia agricultural losses at about $6 billion. Enrollment in Georgia's medical cannabis registry has hit 25,000 patients. The milestone reached over the weekend means the state agency that oversees the program is authorized to approve more dispensaries. Six companies currently operate 13 dispensaries across the state. The executive director of the Georgia Access to Medical Cannabis Commission says he expects things to, quote, pick up in pace quickly from here. State lawmakers first approved low THC cannabis oil to treat various conditions nearly a decade ago, but various legal hurdles slowed its actual use in Georgia until the past few years. Coca-Cola is facing backlash over a series of new holiday ads. The Atlanta-based beverage giant released the commercials produced by artificial intelligence last week. They feature people, lights, reindeer, and snow, all the hallmarks of the season, except it's all computer-generated. Criticism has been intense on social media. That's where TikTokers and YouTubers like Charles White, who goes by PenguinZ0 and comments mostly on video games, are using words like soulless and creepy to describe the ads.
This is the Coca-Cola Create Real Magic campaign. And I like how they're saying real magic when it's AI. That's the exact opposite. It's fake hocus pocus. It's so sad.
Other social media users have mocked the ads in their own AI-generated videos. The ads' creators tout the time-saving technology used to create them. The Atlanta History Center recently hosted a birthday celebration for Georgia icon Ted Turner. Call Me Ted, a new documentary series on Max, profiles the life and cultural impact of the 86-year-old philanthropist and media magnate. GPB's Christy York Wooten has more.
At the Atlanta History Center, an exclusive audience of CEOs, civil rights heroes, and media executives are being instructed by Warner Brothers Discovery Chief David Zaslav to sing Happy Birthday to Ted Turner, who is beaming onto the big screen in the auditorium via Zoom with a homemade cake, his two daughters, and a son-in-law.
Happy birthday to you.
Turner's 86th birthday is still a few days away, but this premiere of Call Me Ted, a riveting six-part streaming series which premiered on Max this week, has brought together a group of the city's civic leaders, including Ambassador Andrew Young and Trumpet Awards creator Zenona Clayton, as well as former CNN president Tom Johnson. Before the screening of highlights from the documentary begins, the project's creative team, producer Joni Levin and writer-director Keith Clark, said Turner was due for an exhaustive examination of his life and career.
There's been a lot of smaller kind of docs that have been out there, but there's never been one that does the real definitive deep dive you know, on his life and legacy, where you're not just looking at his achievements and accomplishments, which are many, as you know, but really the shadows and sort of the obstacles that were behind the man that made him who he is today.
Call Me Ted is named after Turner's 2008 autobiography and follows its namesake as he heads to a Cincinnati boarding school at age 4. He worked for the family advertising company in Savannah and Macon, Georgia in his early 20s and moved to Atlanta in 1964 after his father's suicide. In one episode of the documentary, Turner and his eldest son Teddy explain in the series why he was driven by a need to please his own father.
He said, "Teddy, you're just not going to make it."
But it was, I really want to show him, prove to him that I could do it. For whatever reason, when his dad was around, he was always a failure.
Turner Advertising represented my father's life's work. He loved the company, and what he'd really want me to do was to save it.
Building, merging, and saving media companies is a theme throughout Call Me Ted, but its richness comes from mining billionaire Turner's risk-taking and eccentricities. From wrestling, Atlanta Braves baseball, and Russian TV, to creating the Goodwill Games, the United Nations Foundation, and the Nuclear Threat Initiative. Beneath it all, the city of Atlanta looms large in the storytelling, writer Keith Clark said.
We have a greater appreciation just because I think he opened up the world to what Atlanta is, the history and the potential of the people. And now, after all these years, you know, we see what that is. It's one of the most, you know, fastest growing, thriving communities in the country. Bringing CNN here was a way to put Atlanta on the map.
In addition to the executives, confidants, and late family friend Jimmy Brown featured in Call Me Ted, Turner's personal and professional lives are illustrated effectively in the series by contributions from Jane Fonda and CNN International anchor Christiane Amanpour. Levin says she hopes the variety of voices illustrate that Ted Turner's magnetism runs deeper than the surface.
He really is a visionary, and he has that it factor. You know, he has the vision, but more importantly, he believes in the vision, truly believes it. And this is a guy who was told no so often, I mean, on everything, and he just took no and turned it into on.
For GPB News, I'm Christy York Wooten.
That's it for today's edition of Georgia Today. If you'd like to learn more about these stories, visit our website, gpb.org/news. That's where you'll find many of the stories that you hear on this podcast in greater detail. And if you haven't yet hit subscribe on this podcast, always a good idea to do so. That'll help you to keep us current in your feed. And if you have feedback for us, we love feedback. Tell us what you like to hear and maybe what you don't. Email us at georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Orlando Montoya, filling in for Peter Biello today. We'll be back again tomorrow.